after many of these incidents, came the great smash. Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon, in two waves, 597 and 587, came down, he wrecked Jerusalem, he wrecked the temple, he took most of the people into captivity to break their national spirit. During that terrible period, God spoke again through the great prophet Jeremiah, 31:31 and following. He said, I will make a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant I made with your fathers. They broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master. But this is the covenant. I will write my law on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. We notice it mentions a difference, yes. The old was broken. It's implied the new will not be broken. The old was on stone tablets at Sinai. The new will be written on hearts. But we look for those two main points of Sinai. Yes, they are there.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Souls on Fire, with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Folks, we got an amazing show here over the next hour. A very special guest, one of the more celebrated guests. I've had some great people on here, but Molly Shawn is a tremendously accomplished scholar athlete, and just thrilled to have her on the show. But before I get into, I introduce Molly. And congratulate the Birds on their big win yesterday. Let's begin the show as we always do in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Molly spent and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship We ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In your name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Molly Shawn, graduate of the University of Notre Dame, Our Lady of Good Counsel alum in Maryland, where she excelled in three sports. Her signature sport was lacrosse, where she went on to play 4 years at the University of Notre Dame, serving as a captain. Obviously, Notre Dame is an elite academic institution. And for those of you that may not realize, their women's lacrosse program is at the top, the very top of the food chain in college athletics, always vying for a national championship every year in women's lacrosse. Good counsel. I always used to say Philadelphia has the only two states that I know of that have a Catholic league, you know, are D.C. and Philadelphia. But I would have to say top to bottom sport, you know, across the board, I think the WCAC is, mm-hmm. is the best all Catholic conference in the country. She was a high school academic All-American. Wow, what a novel concept, a three-sport athlete. Those days you're a dinosaur now, Molly, you know, playing three sports. You don't get to see that much, so that's a credit to your athletic ability. Is a Guinness Book of World Record holder with her brother, the two of them. Competed in the duo athlete wheelchair marathon. We'll talk about that throughout the show. She's a qualifier for the Boston Marathon, where she's run, what did you say, about 10 marathons total?
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. Currently, she serves as the assistant director for V United Scholars Program at Villanova University. She also serves as the executive director for the Father Bill Atkinson Service Corporation. She leads an all-woman scripture Bible study group called the Scripture Sisters, which I think is amazing. We'll talk about that. And she's a godmother to sweet little Andre Joseph.
Yep.
And obviously, we're thrilled to have you here, Molly. So welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. So
I know grateful. When, you know, I talk to Steve. Steve's kind of my agent because he's always finding me talent, so to speak. And I know back in the fall, late fall, he's like, hey, I got a great guest for you. And he's given me tremendous guests. But he couldn't stop, oozing about, just talking about, like, what a great addition you were to Villanova, his program, and the credibility that you bring to that job, just being the person you are and having the experiences you've had. So why don't we just start off, talk about your background growing up in Maryland and, in high school and give us a little bit of background about your family.
Yeah, of course. So we're actually a military family.
Okay.
So we moved seven times before seventh grade.
So you can adapt and adjust. I know that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Definitely a lot of things that correlate on the athletic
sure.
field.
No doubt.
So and also being raised by a Marine. None. When we lived in Quantico, I remember being like 12 years old and my dad running us through the entire obstacle course with the train. Yeah. And I remember him standing at the bottom of the rope being like, get up that rope. And I, of course, I was able to do it.
No choice.
But so, yes. And then we moved. My dad retired after 21 years of service. And then we moved to Maryland so that we would all go to the same high school.
Sure.
And have sort of a stable because moving a lot can take a toll. But
no doubt.
Was a lot of fun, too. So ended up at Our Lady of Good Counsel High School in Maryland. And played a bunch of different sports my time there, and then the one that stood out was lacrosse.
When did you? At what point? I know it's so accelerated now with recruiting and picking. The gun to your head. Hey, what sport are you going to focus on? Right, because that's the sports culture of today. But when did you realize, compared to the other sports that you were playing, like you had a chance to be an elite lacrosse player?
So I actually didn't even know lacrosse existed till we moved to Maryland.
How about that?
So in seventh grade, I started playing and loved it. And I think it kind of helped that I hadn't had that burnout
sure,
from playing
no
it
doubt.
Like when I was three. So, yeah. And then as I was going on in high school, being recruited, I was fortunate enough, very grateful for all the coaches that, that helped me along
sure.
the way. And Yes, yeah, so I was torn between my top three offers were Notre Dame, Duke, and then Yale, and I was really torn between Notre Dame and Duke. Notre Dame just felt like home, but my mom and dad both went to school there, and
that's
I've
awesome.
Been saying go Irish since I was a little kid.
That's awesome.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah. So, and then I loved Notre Dame. I call it heaven on earth. It's I'm sure you've been to
oh absolutely
South Bend.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
And now you're at mini heaven on earth being
yes.
at Villanova, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Oh, I'm obsessed with Villanova now
yeah.
too because we used to play here.
Sure.
And we would joke, we would call it Vanilla No Fun, which I don't agree with anymore now that I work
here. Yeah, you got to bury that. Now,
but what I love about Villanova is how inclusive it is. It,
sure.
Like, our program, Steve, who you're mentioning, it's just unbelievable all that they do for people with disabilities.
Amazing.
And so
he's kind of really set the bar nationally. Steve has, and and I look back, I've done some projects with Steve, with general population, with adolescents, with leadership and motivation and stuff like that. We did a couple seminars together, and then his baby, like his vision with this program with VU Scholars. And I know he's gotten awarded nationally. He's gotten recognized nationally for the work he's done, which is truly amazing. And that's enhanced the visibility of the school too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And in conjunction, if we're talking athletics too, like my Allie has Down syndrome and she is a full-time Villanova cheerleader. She's on national television and I don't know of any school in the country
that's
where you'll see
amazing.
That.
Amazing. That's
awesome. It's a beautiful thing. And then our students can also pursue their faith. I joke, but I literally called my Zach yesterday and he's like, I'm going to the 5 p.m. mass, the 7 p.m. mass, and the 9 p.m. mass.
That's
and
awesome.
I adore Villanova. It's
yeah,
a phenomenal
it's a special
place.
Place. I know my daughter, we live about 25 miles out, 25 minutes out, and she was down at the 9 last night. And she called from the car on the way home and said, oh, Father Rob had the mass. And,
I missed and, Father
yeah,
Rob.
Oh, he's the best.
I went
yeah,
to 7.
Yeah. Oh, there's weeks I call and say, hey, what are you doing?
Go.
So tight family.
Yes.
Coming
yes.
from that, that tight family. And talk about how the job at Villanova evolved and how you ended up at Villanova.
Yeah. So my older brother, who we mentioned with the duo athletes, my older brother has a severe form of cerebral palsy called lissencephaly. So he's nonverbal and uses a wheelchair, but he's been my inspiration in everything.
How old is he? How much older is he?
He's 2 years older than I.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I mean, when he was born, the doctors said he wouldn't live to see his second birthday, and he's a miracle. He's my miracle. He's 32.
That's
so
awesome.
Yes, he's doing phenomenally. So he's been sort of my guiding light in a lot that I do. I actually after graduating from Notre Dame, I did a 2-year teaching program, kind of similar to Teach for America, but it's called the Alliance for Catholic Education.
Awesome.
And it's through Notre Dame, and so you're placed in a really poor Catholic school throughout the states.
Okay.
And in doing so, you also earn your Master's of Education.
And where was your placement?
I was in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Wow.
Body of Christ. Yes, and it was amazing. It was a school run by Dominican sisters.
That's awesome.
From the Philippines. So I remember giving them a lacrosse stick, and they had it upside down. So it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. But in the process, when I was in school, when I was doing my grad program, someone sent me a link to a college program for students with intellectual disabilities. And they're like, have you heard of these? And I was like, I had it. I didn't
sure.
know they existed. There's about 300 in the country. And so, of course, at the time, I was like, why doesn't Notre Dame have this?
Sure.
And then it became like, how could Notre Dame have this? What does it look like? And so I've been going for years now and pitching a program to Notre Dame, and in the process was connected to the great Steve McWilliams, who is just He's who I want to be when I grow up. He's,
no
he's
doubt.
My
amazing.
Super. Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing.
And but, the most humble guy in the world.
Oh,
too.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. The kid that my students call him Steve the Man.
Yeah.
So sometimes he's not quite that humble. When
sure.
They're like,
oh, no
Steve
doubt.
The, yeah. Like, but no, he's phenomenal. And so Steve was he was the first person to take on a Catholic university to take on a program.
Sure.
Especially a residential program where our students live on campus.
Sure.
So it's a certificate program for young adults with intellectual disabilities. And yeah, I met Steve, and within 5 minutes it just clicked. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, kind of the rest is history.
That's cool. So now, where I got to ask, just because you piqued my curiosity, is Notre Dame, are there where are they in that process? Is it on the table? Is it something that you feel confident down the road in time that they'll get something up and running, or do you think it's?
I always say it's in God's hands,
sure.
And in God's time, and I something tells me that it will come to fruition,
sure.
Eventually at Notre Dame, but it's still sort of in the works.
Awesome. Well, yeah, your tenacity, I would imagine as an athlete, you're gonna keep hounding them until they do something about it. But that's
banging
a great
down
story.
The dome. That's what I say. Banging on the door of the dome. For
that's
years
awesome.
Now.
That's awesome.
But couldn't have found a better place, truly, and a better person to work for, because Steve is amazing. And Villanova, just, you know, like later tonight, I'm going to a taco party with a ton of my students and all of their mentors. And
that's
the,
awesome.
The Villanova student body just completely embraces the program. So it's really just
yeah, and they're really
thing.
They are really integrated with the rest of the school too,
yes.
Which is amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I talk to Anders. Do you know Anders?
Yeah,
I talk
do.
To him once every 2 weeks.
Do you?
Steve,
oh, Anders
up.
Is great. Yeah.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. You know, and I know you got an incredibly strong faith. And we were talking a little bit before the show about the correlation between sports and spirituality. And I've always felt that, I know I say this a lot on my show, particularly with people of an athletic background, but St. Pope John Paul II, he always felt that there was a huge platform for in the sports arena to bring people closer to Christ. But even beyond that, right, it's like, you know, St. Teresa of Avila wrote a book. It's called The Interior Castle. And it's basically like, you know, just, you know, getting to the center, drilling down and just getting to the sweetest of spots in heaven. Like, and she describes the mansion of heaven, and she wants, you know, getting to the center room in heaven, and just basically, and the analogy was like drilling down to your faith such that like you keep working on it. You keep working on it. And when I read it, I was, you know, when I was in the theology program at Villanova, I was a fish out of water, because I was a 50 year old guy, you know, old timer, and the program was mostly academics in the PhD program. But I couldn't help but make the correlation between the athlete that's just constantly honing his craft, right? And for me, you know, the correlation was just, it popped. I said it was like a natural. And, you know, the obsessive nature about sport in terms of like, I can always get better, I can do more. And I'm not saying an obsessive in a negative way. I'm just saying like, just consumed with greatness, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we can, you know, I've always, in the last 10 years, I've tried to view my faith life like that too. Like, you know, what am I doing? What can I do better? What can I do better? What's
right.
God calling me to do more of? And then just, you know, hopefully being opened enough to do that. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that correlation between sports and spirituality?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. Kind of like I was saying before, I'm just so grateful that I was able to pursue, you know, my best athletic self alongside a Catholic education, because my faith is very important to me. But like we were talking about the routine of sports and the routine of prayer, I'm a big, now that I run, I use it as one of my biggest prayer times, because sometimes I'm just logging a ton of
hours,
ton of,
and time,
yes,
yeah.
And miles. And I will just pray rosary after rosary after
That's
rosary.
That's awesome.
And you know what's funny is sometimes I'll like be looking back through my splits. I'm like, why was I running so fast right now? I'm like, oh, you know.
She was carrying me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I just started my rosary at that point in time. That's, and I'm not kidding in the slightest. Or just sometimes just the simple, you know, prayer of like, God, get me through this workout.
Sure.
Or, in my scripture sisters, we talk a lot about which way are you pointing. And especially I think when we're, you know, talented athletes or, you know, whatever craft we are honing, you know, are we pointing inward or are we pointing upward? And I know when people are pointing upward with the discipline and with the humility, it's, you know, it's what God's calling us to do. I don't think he gives us our talents and abilities for nothing.
Sure.
You know, I think, you know, he calls us to run the race with endurance, right? And whatever Amen. That race is, I'm a runner, so that fits well. But
to your point, it fits in so many different areas, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just the running, you know, the competition of sport and the field of running either.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. With our work, with whatever sure. it may be, with our service to others.
Sure.
I'm huge on service to others, but I think that there's a lot of evangelizing. You can even think of
100%.
like Tim Tebow did huge evangelization
no
when
doubt.
He would, you know, would do something simple of just this prayer before the games.
When I think, as you mentioned that, and I think of the, you know, the platform that sports can bring people to Christ. I mean, he was amazing at that.
Well, absolutely. And look what you're doing right here, right now, right? It's the same thing.
Sure.
It's
yeah,
amazing.
Different levels, but yeah.
But still.
Definitely. I appreciate that. And then even more so too, Molly, like right the when you're not at your best self athletically.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's times here you are this elite athlete at the highest level possible. You know, but there were probably games and times and periods in that career where you're just like you're slumping or you feel heavy, your legs are heavy
right.
and you feel overtrained or, you know, or underperforming or whatever.
Right.
But you still keep at it. You
right.
know, like it's when things get hard, you don't. And it's like that with faith, you know, the
right.
times where you may want to give up on the practice of, you know, saying the rosary or church or whatever platform you're using to worship, but you fight through it.
Right.
You
oh,
know?
No, definitely. Or sometimes you just pray. Like I remember days, right, because Notre Dame, you know, it's not a joke academically
no,
either.
No.
And I was pre-med, so I remember organic chemistry having an exam, and I would have a 6 a.m. workout, you know, practice, whatever it may be. And I remember having pulled all-nighters to study
sure.
for these tests, and you're going to show up to practice, and you really don't know what's going on. And you're just,
sure.
you're like praying that you can get through the workout, or you're praying, you know, sometimes it's praying, God, use me in a different way. Sometimes,
sure.
you know, whatever, I broke my ankle senior year. It's like, okay, God, use my voice from the
sure.
sidelines or whatever it may be. So I think, and I think when we ask, you know, what is it, the knock, and the door will be answered, you know, opened.
That's
he
awesome.
Answers.
Let me ask you this. So you have a special relationship with your older brother. He's, you know, we were talking earlier, you told our viewers, you know, how special that relationship is and what, you know, what a profound impact he's had on you. Mm-hmm. So how did the first opportunity to compete together as duo athletes, how did that come? Was that your brainchild or did you kind of, yeah. Talk about how that came about.
Well, okay. So kind of in part, it came from a low, to be honest. So, I just finished college. I moved from South Bend to South Texas, completely different worlds. And I was teaching and I wasn't around family, friends, anything. I was teaching, you know, in this area. And I knew I needed an outlet. I was really struggling.
Sure.
And I knew I needed an outlet. And I remember calling my parents and saying, I want to run a marathon pushing Tommy, my first marathon. I wanted to push Tommy for my first marathon. They're like, you're crazy. Run one. My dad ran marathons when he was in the Marines and he was like, run one on your own. I'm like, nope, we're going to do it together. And like,
that's awesome.
Hung up the phone and, registered as they're called duo athletes. So Tommy's in this really neat racing chair and you're behind them pushing. And so registered for the Marine Corps Marathon as a duo athlete.
That's awesome.
And that was both of our first marathon together.
That's cool. Now, did you have an opportunity to, because it's so arduous with the training for that, did you have an opportunity to run together prior to the marathon?
Another God thing. I was at a random race in South Texas and I see this woman on the back of her shirt. It says, my hero always beats me by a second. And it has someone pushing pushing someone in a wheelchair. And I walked up to her and I said, "What, you know, what is this? What is this program?" And it was My Team Triumph. There was a program for people pushing people in chairs. And so I was able to train down in Texas while my brother trained with some friends. So we got time in the chair being pushed up in Maryland.
Awesome. It was no amazing. Such thing as a coincidence.
No,
man.
No coincidence. Someone once told me it's just God incognito.
Absolutely. That's a great story. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you competed with your brother now?
With Tommy, we've done 2 full marathons together and then a bunch of different halves. And okay. Cherry Blossom 10-miler.
Sure, that's a great race. Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. Oh, there you go. Yep.
That's always a great race, and it's a beautiful time to be down there for that.
Yes.
You know, the thing, one of the things, you know, we were talking about earlier, or actually later last week, was, you know, opportunities to worship. And I think one of the beautiful things about our Catholic faith, I think, you know, our Protestant sisters and brothers, you know, they spend most of their time in the Word, which is obviously important. But we do have the Word, and we have a lot of other opportunities to worship platforms. You were saying the Rosary and Novenas and Adoration and a bunch of different things. But getting back to the Word, you know, you're involved in this group. It's called the Scripture Sisters, which I think is so amazing. Talk about how that evolved and how you were able to kind of get involved with that. And really, and then we were talking too, and the importance of just being around not just faith, you know, faith-filled people, but faith-filled women that are trying to, you know, kind of take on the expanded roles that you're taking on and being different things to different people. And I'm involved in a men's group, and there's, you know, communal worship at the mass and some of the things where we're all taking part of. It's awesome. But there's something unique to going with, you know, single sex opportunities to worship in a different capacity. Talk about Sister Scriptures for a couple minutes, if you would.
Yes, of course. So it actually, during COVID, I had a bunch of non-denominational friends who started a Bible study. And we went through the Gospel of Matthew, and I loved it. It was a bunch of young people, and we, you know, all the churches were closed, and every Sunday we would meet over Zoom, and we would go through
Matthew. Now, did you just cherry pick people in your background? How did you come up with that?
My friends started.
Okay.
And then I kind of was like, wow, I love this. And you know, I thought that it would be nice to have a platform just for women. And so I started it as Woman in the Word Wednesday. I like
okay.
good alliteration.
Alliteration. Yep. Yeah, yep. Definitely. Yep. Definitely.
And then it evolved to Scripture Sisters. So I just reached out to some of the women in that initial group. That one, unfortunately, disbanded. So I reached out to, you know, I was like, oh, my mom's a beautiful Catholic woman.
Sure.
And so we've a bunch of her friends are now in it too. We've
awesome.
Had some, we've had some with like little newborns.
That's
so
cool.
We have young to old.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Kind of.
So how
whole,
often do you guys practice together?
So we were meeting, we changed it a little bit, but we were meeting every Wednesday for I think it's like going on 2 years, maybe going
Man,
on
that's awesome.
3 years now.
That's
I guess.
Awesome.
Or no, I must. Yeah, I guess must be
Have
going on 3 years.
Have you recruited anybody from Villanova? Your Villanova posse?
My Allie. So one of my students comes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's great to hear her perspective on Christ and everything. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I we pick a different passage every week, and I think you know, when you're in a group of all women, or like you were saying, we are a group of all men, you can talk about things differently, or
no doubt.
You know, it's just a different environment than if it were.
100%.
Yeah, so it's...
But I think because it's the living word, you can make the correlations with today.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like it's
absolutely.
Like, which is awesome. And then there's certain scriptures that, you know, that you can, you know, not favor, but that you can kind of delve into
right.
with a female component from female lens, you know, from
right.
that, and same thing with us, right? There's certain
right.
things when you see the frailty of manhood, or, you know, you see, you know, the sinful nature of somebody who's not where he needs to be, you know,
right.
we can relate to all of it, but some of the Bible is just more applicable to our journey
oh,
as men and women.
Yeah.
Know?
The one that stands out initially is Martha and Mary.
100%.
You know,
that
story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And
absolutely. That was just a couple weeks
that.
Ago too, I
yep,
think. Yeah.
Yep, yeah.
That's, and just, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm significantly older than you, but I feel like, I don't know, my Catholic formation for probably 35 years, I was I was only being fed at Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that, and I'm not making excuses for it, but I feel like, at least from a generational standpoint, like we were led to believe that, like, oh, as long as you're going to Mass, you know, you're in good standing, whatever the heck that means. Mm. But, like, you know, and then in the last, and then in my later, you know, later onset of life, you know, the need to be fed daily, you know, and, like, you know, and, yes, and delving into the Word, and
absolutely,
you know, and then also participating in other platforms, you know, adoration, contemplative prayer, meditation. You know, we were talking a little bit about surrender. You know, talk about that, because that brings up, yeah, talk about this whole concept, because I'm going to start doing this.
They're called pocket prayers. And so I actually have a good friend. I walked the Camino. This past summer I did it in an accessible Camino. So we were pushing men and women with physical disabilities across Spain.
Holy mackerel. How long was that journey? The pilgrimage?
We did from Sarria to Santiago. So we did the last 100 kilometers.
Wow.
So about a little over 70 miles. But there were times when
had to be crazy.
Oh,
right?
There were times when there'd be two of us pushing behind, and then we'd have ropes of two people pulling in front. But one of my...
How big was your group?
There were about 40 of us total.
Wow.
And six of the men and women had physical disabilities.
Wow.
So, but one of the pushers, Amy, wrote a book, and in her book she talks about pocket prayers. And so a pocket prayer she would write in, she'd do her daily devotional or her word in the morning, and she would write her pocket prayer, and she'd stick it in her pocket. And then, you know, when you need a breather, or you go to the restroom,
sure,
or you just reach your hand in your pocket and you're like, we were talking earlier about, we were talking about surrendering, right? And my pocket prayer, I think it worked so well, but it says, anything that causes us to depend on Christ is a good thing. And then from 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness.
Wow.
Yeah, it's...
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Well, when I read it, the first person I think of is my brother. I have a good Tommy story.
Give it to us.
If you don't mind.
No, please.
So we have a huge devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes. So Lourdes is, you have the Grotto at Notre Dame, which is modeled after the Grotto at Lourdes. But we've been three times in prayers for Tommy's miracle, right? Bernadette was at Lourdes, and she saw the vision of Mary, and she said, dig here, and the waters came from the ground. But people have bathed in the water at Lourdes and, have left being able to walk, or, so we've been praying for Tommy's miracle. And so actually going back to my athletic career, it was when I was in high school and I was getting recruited to play lacrosse in college. I had this moment where I went to my mom and I was sobbing, and I was like, Mom, it's not fair. It's not fair that I can run around a lacrosse field and I have this older brother who can't, right? And in so many ways, like, he's so worthy.
Sure.
And she told me this story of the second time we were at Lourdes. She was actually up late at night after we had bathed in the waters, and she was folding laundry. And she was having this similar moment with God, like, why?
Sure.
We've prayed for Tommy's miracle, you know. And she just heard a voice say, I've given you the best I have. Why do you keep asking me for more?
Woo! Wow.
And she told me that when I was in high school, and I think my whole framework changed.
Sure.
Because it's, I think our view of perfection is
no
so,
doubt, man.
Right. And I think of my brother, he can't speak, but his lips have never uttered a lie.
No,
you know,
doubt.
How many of us can say that he's never wronged anyone?
Sure.
I mean, he pulls my hair to get my attention,
sure,
but that's about it. But I think, you know, I think sometimes our concept of what is good and what is right and what is perfect or what is the ideal, or
so
we're talking
true
about social media, right? Like, what's the perfect athlete? What's the perfect body type? And it's like, you know, my strength is perfected in weakness.
No doubt.
It is. His strength is perfected in my brother's weakness, because he extends a smile to literally everyone he meets.
And also, too, I'm even thinking, like, his miracle of bringing other people to Christ, right? That may never have otherwise, what you're doing and what he's doing, like, that's a miracle.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's bringing people, you're bringing people closer. And every time you get interviewed, or every time people, you know, stop you, like, that's, you're the gospel that people are reading.
Well,
I mean
you.
That. And that's like, that's a miracle.
He's,
too.
Oh, and if you want to talk about people close to Christ, he every Sunday morning, he will point at me and he'll point upstairs. And like half the time I'm like, I don't know what day of the week is. And he will say, you know, Tommy, do you want this, that? And I say, Tommy, do you want me to put on church clothes? And he signs yes, because he wants me to go. He knows it's Sunday. And we have to go to
awesome,
church.
Man.
He's I think, basically a daily communicant. He goes to Mass almost
awesome.
Every day of the week. And every time he goes to Mass, there'll be times when he's just looking off and he'll just get this look in his eye and he'll laugh.
Sure.
And I just have this feeling that he sees something that we can't see.
No doubt.
And I think he, it's just beautiful. His faith and everything I do is, you know, it all stems back to Tommy, you know.
That's amazing.
But he, I always say, he can't walk and talk, but he sure does walk and talk his way into people's lives.
No doubt. And he's speaking volumes to the rest of us too.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
Amazing. Folks, we're going to be back in a couple minutes. We're going to take a brief commercial break here. We're back with Molly Shawn, Executive Director of the United Scholars at Villanova University.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2900.
Did that, the K-Love Challenge. Folks, welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm with Molly Shawn, former captain of University of Notre Dame women's lacrosse and high school All-American. I know, Molly, in addition to your role as assistant director of the United Scholars at Villanova University, that you and Steve have brought to a national level from a visibility and credibility standpoint. You also serve as executive director of the Father Bill Atkinson Service Corps. Talk about that for a couple minutes. Obviously, Father Atkinson, you know, and maybe you can enlighten us. I've had some people that have been affiliated on him. Obviously, Steve, you know, wrote Green Bananas,
yep,
which was a great short read. I think my buddy Steve Hudak's listening. He recommended that book to me. It was a great book, and the concept is pretty awesome. But before we talk about your role as executive director of the Service Corps, where are we with it? He's not beatified yet, but is he, we're in the process of, the train is on the tracks, for lack of a better term,
yes,
right? We're trying to still gather information.
Yes.
I know that's
yes,
a long process.
Yes. So Father, yes. So he's a servant of God,
okay,
which is, you know,
a prerequisite.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so they closed the books last, I don't know if you remember from last fall, over at the church at Villanova. They basically, you know, they interviewed Steve. They interviewed a bunch of people who,
okay,
knew him in his lifetime, and they had people from the Vatican, and they had this beautiful ceremony where they
literally
closed,
closing the book.
They
okay,
literally closed the books on the narrative of his life,
okay,
to send off to Rome.
Okay.
But yeah, so our service corps, it's a nonprofit for people with disabilities. So, you know, as I think, well, some, you know, Father Bill Atkinson was the first quadriplegic priest.
Yeah.
So he was in a tobogganing
accident.
Got
special dispensation from Rome to go into,
yes,
the priesthood.
Yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. And so, sort of in his memory and in his legacy, we started the nonprofit, and we asked his family if we could use his name with his connection to people with disabilities. But so we meet every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, most of the time over at the Haverford Rec Center.
Okay,
I don't know if
awesome.
Yeah, it's a nice nice facility. And we do, I always say mind, body, spirit when I'm coming up with programming. So we move our bodies, we, you know, grow our minds by learning about different things.
Sure. Like
this week, our Friday is National Geographic Day, so
okay.
we're going to learn about some animals and
That's
look
cool.
at some National Geographic photos. And then Spirit, we start every single day with an adaptation of the Father Bill's The Strength of Others poem
yeah.
that we will pray together as a group.
That's awesome. In addition to heightened invisibility, is there any monetary, like, is there anything like that? It's a nonprofit. So do you have any fundraisers that we can make anyone aware of or anything like that? That could people on the outside get involved with anything like that? Like from a monetary standpoint?
Yes. We always
do you have a website or do you have?
We do. Yes.
Please. Yeah. Talk
yes.
about that.
So we always talk about time, treasure, and talent. We love any of.
If any of our listeners were interested in giving, what would they just? Do you have a website?
Yes. Our website is friendsoffatherbill.org.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes. That'd be wonderful. But yeah, one of our biggest events we had actually sort of modeled after the Camino that I did. We had a pilgrimage from Villanova. Church to Our Lady of the Assumption.
Oh,
we walked
wow.
down the Radnor Chester
yeah.
Trail. So that was our big sort of event this past fall, and we'll do
That's
it again
awesome.
This coming fall.
That is awesome.
But yes.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, obviously you're involved in Sister Scriptures. Is there any, and you're the rosary you said, so those would be your two other ways to draw in relationship with Christ, you know, that you feel like, are there any other ones in terms of, you know, adoration or novenas or anything outside of, I mean, obviously the rosaries, you know, that's a huge, you're doing enough there. I just wanted to see if there was any other ones that you kind of dig into in your faith journey.
Well, I love the celebrating the sacraments
sure.
and I love being on a Catholic campus with my students, being able to do
how
it
nice
with them.
Is that, man?
Oh, we got like, going to, I remember the first time I took one of my students to confession. And it was just funny. We're walking over, and I'm like, you know, thinking through the different sins that I'm. And my student, he's from Boston. He's like, "Do I tell the priest that I yell at the TV when the Patriots are losing?" I'm like comparing. But celebrating the sacraments. I love novenas.
Yeah.
I did the 30 days of Morning Glory.
That's awesome.
Have you done? I don't know if you've done that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I highly
yeah.
recommend it.
That's awesome. I tell you I was. Called Father Rob like a month ago. Maybe it wasn't that long ago. So anyway, I was down here on a Tuesday. Actually, I think I was meeting with Steve, and it was like 10 of 5, and I know... It was I was down here for lunch with Steve.
Okay.
And I went into the chapel, the small chapel, core chapel, right next to, like up by the bookstore in that area.
Yes,
the Conley. Yep. Man, that's one of the holiest places I've ever been in. And
beautiful.
It's so small. It's so, I never feel God's presence. He's everywhere, I know. But like, I never feel the power of God's presence more in any location than I do there. It's just, I don't know if it's the intimacy of the building. And then it's always great because one of the things that transformed my faith journey was, you know, when I got hired here the first time. And I would do my fat man's run around campus, and I had a halftime where I'd shoot into the chapel at 12:05, and then kind of 15-20 minutes later I'd finish my run. I'd do my 2 miles pre. I'd go in all sweaty and gross and do the 12:05 mass and roll out of there about 25 after, and then do another mile and a half. But I just always feel like that's. It's just such a special place, and you know, and even last night, like my daughter, you know, having the ability to go down on, you know, at 9 o'clock, you know, because she usually goes to the 7, and you know, being on a Catholic school like Notre Dame, you have so many opportunities to worship. Mm-hmm. I know, I think the chapel has the 12:05 every day. I think they have an 8 a.m. and a 5:30. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So you have, you know, just the so many other opportunities to worship there. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I know for me, like, you know, the beauty of that experience for me in my time at Villanova, and I was there for 10 and then left for 10. I was there for 8, left for 10 and went back for 8, but I loved it because it would be like, you know, school electricians, there'd be faculty,
yep.
there'd be blue collar workers,
everyone.
There'd be, you know, secretaries, professors, coaches. And it was just like you felt like it was like, hey, the commonality of the, you know, the synergy you get with like being in a Amen. You know, in a place that, you know, that we're all flawed as we are, you know, from, you know, education doesn't matter. Intellect ability doesn't matter. Athletic ability doesn't matter. We're all just trying to be more and to be the best version of ourselves we can be.
Absolutely.
You know, sitting here talking to you, and your devotion to, you know, your faith, I'm thinking of Maddie Segrist, you know, from Villanova. Have you had a chance to meet her at all?
I have not, no, but yeah, I know she's pretty
special.
Big time.
Yeah, I've had her on my program,
oh,
too.
Oh, wonderful.
And I know, you know, her devotion. I think last night she became the all-time leading scorer Big Five history. And, you know, Dean and I were talking, Dean Kenefick, over the weekend, and his, you know, she should, I don't know if she will because, you know, there's so many other great candidates, but she should be in the top two or three in the conversation for National Player of the Year. Folks, for those of you that don't know, Maddie Segrist is an All-American basketball player for Villanova. They're having an unbelievable season. I think they're 16-4, 17-4, something like that. And not that she's a one-person show, but she's kind of the, you know, if you can stop her, you have a good chance at stopping their team, but she manages to kind of just keep coming back. And very much, I do hope, you know, you definitely make it a point to meet her because she's a little more introverted than you, but like very much big picture, you know, paying homage to God by, you know, in her athletic pursuit, but thinking beyond just the competition of it, which is pretty awesome. Do you feel, you know, you're young, you're still, you know, there's so many great things ahead of you. Do you feel like when old timers like me get jaded and say, you know, young people, do you feel like you're a fish out of water with your faith journey? And I ask you that candidly, just in terms of your cohort, you know what I mean? A lot of times, and I'm not saying like, I'm not saying it was the good old days or whatever. That's not my point here, but do you feel like as faith has taken a back seat to other pursuits, not for all of us, young adults and older adults, but do you feel like you're able to draw strength from some of your cohorts in your age group in your faith journey, or do you feel like you have to rely on some older people in that because organized religion is so quote-unquote outdated? Do you feel that way or no?
Have you heard of like the red truck phenomenon?
I haven't.
It's basically if you think about a red truck and you start looking around,
I think that might be me. I apologize. Sorry about that.
No, totally okay. But if you think about a red truck, you'll start seeing more and more red trucks.
Okay.
And I think similarly, if I think that I'm, you know, the only one who's still practicing my faith, then I'm going to see a bunch of people around me who aren't practicing my faith. But if I think about all the people that are around me practicing my faith, I think part of even why I started Scripture Sisters was to get a group of women together that we could have these conversations with, right? A lot were people that were my age that I would be able to pick up at any point in time. I have this one friend, Christy, who I can call, I think, at any hour of the day and just talk to her about God, which is
what
amazing.
A blessing.
A blessing. And she's a former college lacrosse player as well. I think similarly, it's sort of, you know, how I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who are sort of disenfranchised and there is sort of maybe a bit of that mentality, but I think it's what you look for. And they also say you're like, you are going to resemble the five closest people around you.
Amen.
And I think if you surround yourself with people who are on the same track, I mean, my spiritual advisor's a priest, so he's older, but I will oftentimes call up some of the seminarians here that are Augustinians that are younger, and I don't know if you're familiar with Father Bill Gabriel.
Oh yeah.
I think we graduated the same year, and it's always nice, you know, whether it be a man or a woman, to find other people who are devoted to their faith and practicing. I like to think that our generation isn't fully lost.
No, and I don't think they are either. I just feel like it's funny. Like, I think, you know, I look at society and the intentionality of removing God from all of it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have the blessing of really kind of being exposed to nothing but Catholic universities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so now, and again, like, you know, so many of the universities, the sterility there of, like, you can't, you know,
right,
you know,
right.
You walk into every classroom at Villanova, and I'm sure Notre Dame, right? There's a crucifix in every... Yeah. At every classroom, and there's an unapologetic tone to the faith, right?
Right.
You don't have to be a closet Catholic,
right,
know, the way
right.
you may have to at other schools. And some, unfortunately, like even just from a survival standpoint, you don't want to be labeled, you know, in the cancel
right,
culture,
right.
you know, you don't want to be labeled somebody that, you know, follows Jesus or has a, you know, is affiliated with an organized religion. But, you know, but that's a valid point too. I think, you know, and I'm optimistic because I see my own kids and their faith journey and they're young, you know, they're just in their early 20s and late, you know, my daughter's a senior in high school and how faith has transformed her life and so I'm definitely optimistic, but I feel like, man, is it swimming uphill a
right.
little bit, you know?
Right.
It saddens me when I see, you know, 2007 the iPhone came out, and then by 2010 50% of American teens had an iPhone, and by 2015 98% of American teenagers had an iPhone. Black, white, city, suburban, rural, male, female, it transcended all lines. And then, you know, and here we are, you know, whatever that is, 16 years later, with the birthday just being last week of the iPhone, and the correlation with social media and poor mental health, you know, and I think that coupled with we're chasing the idols, right? We're chasing
right.
the wrong idols. Yeah, from a biblical idolatry standpoint, you know, we're putting our stock in things that don't give us value and don't
right.
give you substance.
Right.
And the irony is we've never had more but been less happy in the history of man.
Yep.
You know, and to your quote, I don't want to butcher it, so if you would read that again, you know, you're never closer. You know, you talk about the pocket prayer. I think it was...
Anything that causes us to depend on Christ is a good thing, and my grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
For my power is perfected in weakness.
Yeah. And most of the time, when do we rely on God most? When we're in crisis. You know, and the key for all of it, and every day, like, I've learned to be in crisis every day, because I know I can't get out of my own way without him.
Right.
You know, taking over every day, all day.
Right.
You know,
that full surrender.
Yeah, total surrender.
Yeah.
And I kind of laugh a little bit because, you know, I look at, you know, the self-help, you know, with addiction therapy and some, you know, all the, you know, whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous or, you know, all the different anonymous, right? They talk about surrender, right? Well, what are you surrendering to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we don't have a place to surrender to God, but, you know, if you're at an Al-Anon meeting tonight in Bryn Mawr, you know, you're still talking about surrendering, which
right.
I've always found funny.
Right.
The yogis talk about, like, meditation, right?
Mm.
Like, well, what is meditation but contemplative prayer? You know what I mean? And so, you know, intermittent fasting, you
right.
know what I mean? All of a sudden now it's, you know, it's in vogue, but fasting's been around
right.
since,
exactly.
you know, since the Bible. So you trace all between surrender and meditation / contemplative prayer and intermittent fasting. These are biblical concepts that have been around.
Yep.
You know, for 2,000 years, longer than that, you know, since the beginning of man. But yet we don't want to make a correlation with, you know, between, you know, society and religion. And I was saying on the air before, like, we got going, like, when the Buffalo Bills player went down 2 weeks ago with the heart, you know, the cardiac arrest. The blessing that came out of this from my vantage point was not only did he survive and come to and will make a recovery, but like I don't think we've ever mentioned God more on TV than we did in that, you know, 72 hours, you know, after
right.
that. It was like everyone said, hey, God help this man. Our thoughts and our prayers are with this person. And it just felt like in mainstream media that kind of, you know, has intentionally removed God from the equation. It was kind of refreshing to have all the outlets, mm-hmm. you know, from Fox to CNN to SI to local cable to you know, everything in between, ESPN, everyone was referencing God mm-hmm. and prayer in that moment of crisis for him. So that was kind of, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. I'm older than you, but like the division that like kind of has in the cancel culture of today, right? Like, we're not a political show, and that's not the intent. But the lack of tolerance for people that don't necessarily have my ideology,
mm-hmm.
But under the Catholic. The umbrella of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we do seem pretty divided. You know, mm-hmm. things like immigration, orientation, capitalism, socialism, liberation theology, like the different things. Can we become less fractured over time?
Hmm.
Or, you know, in terms of like God's, you know, are we gonna have a split? Do you think? What do you think? Big question. I know.
Yeah, big question. Yeah. Big question. For Monday evening. I think in God's hands. You know, you think Catholic means universal.
Amen.
And you think that in God's hands that there's definitely a method to the madness. I think that there is a lot of stuff behind the curtain that maybe we can't see that might look like fractures, but maybe it's God's way of, reincorporating I guess going back to what we were talking about or earlier, the number of times I have friends that, you know, one of my friends was joking a couple weeks ago. He said he wanted to make a shirt that said, "I used to be Catholic," right?
Sure.
And in right, and a lot is, you know, a lot, you know, they stop practicing and use, why? The church scandal or, sure. you know, whatever it may be. And I think, I just think in with all of it, when I have some of these harder conversations with friends or, I think our God is much more merciful, much more loving, much more understanding.
Inclusive, yeah.
Inclusive is a great word, right? Than any of us can imagine.
Sure. We just screw it up.
100%, right? Right?
I feel like I said this before on the show, but there was by a Protestant church by where we live. It's probably been about 8 months now, but they had, you know, they have those signs out front, you know, with the automated signs, but the old plastic letters on it, you know, and it said, "Your job is to love everyone. Let me figure out the rest."
Mm.
And sometimes we get caught. We forget that, like, we are Catholic because God sent His Son,
yep,
to suffer an unjustly death, to die for our sins forever.
Right.
And, you know, that's why we're Catholic.
Right.
You
know, right.
And the humanity of the church that guides us.
Right.
They're flawed just like you and I are flawed.
Right. Absolutely.
The men and women that like are part of bureaucracy or part of leadership. It's just, it's their flawed nature.
Right.
You know, I always found it interesting. I didn't know, you know, infallibility, even with the Pope, it's only been exercised, I think, twice in the last 150 mm. years. So we think like everything the Pope does isn't infallible.
Right. Right.
It's, you know, when there's a crisis or a pontifical decision to be made,
mm-hmm.
we think that we're taught that gift of infallibility applies. But when it comes to, you know, personal opinions, everything that, you know, comes out of his mouth isn't deemed truth
infallible.
Necessarily.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I didn't realize that for the longest time.
I didn't know that either.
I mean, I'm hopeful too, and I feel like. You know, what a great point too. And the other challenge, you know, we only see the naysay, like the noisemakers, right? Mm. We don't see the, you know, the Molly Shawns that are living the you know, that aren't self-promoting the way that, you know, the non-devout person is the look at me society that we live in, but you and I both live in, the disease of me. Mm. You know, it's, I do believe that there's enough Molly Shawns and, you know, Liam Trainers and Dylan
Siegert.
Trainers. What's that?
Maddie Siegert's.
Yeah, Maddie Siegert's. Yeah, thank you. I mean, there's enough there, and you and I get the opportunity to see that live and in color individually. As we close up, I do want to talk about, you know, you mentioned being other-centered, you know, and as opposed to self-centered, mm-hmm. you know, which, you know, you're living out God's mission because of that, not just with your brother, but just having a wider lens and being inclusive and, you know, being so inclusive with people on the margins. I think that's Mother Teresa, the great ones, right? The great people in our life, in our history have done. You know, it's amazing, you know, you talk about gratitude, but like when we're other-centered, we're at our happiest, you know, and the science tells us when we're other-centered, you know, we're at our happiest. Mm-hmm. And when we're self-centered and we're trying to fill up this, you know, this black hole of money or wealth or physical toys or, you know, all the things that of the worldly, when we can detach from the worldly and be other-centered, that's when we're at our happiest.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I couldn't agree more. Another big one. Are you familiar with Father Greg Boyle?
I'm not.
He's he runs the largest gang intervention program in the world. He was a priest. He's a Jesuit out in L.A., but it's called Homeboy Industries. But he talks about going to the margins, and he talks about meeting people there. But I was thinking when you were talking, I have this quote on my water bottle. It says, "The wrong idea has taken root in the world, and the idea is this. There just might be lives out there that matter less than other lives."
Mm.
And I think when we look at, you know, whether it be the, you know, homeless person on the street of Philadelphia or, you know, someone in a wheelchair because they're born with encephaly. And, you know, if you look at them and you see Christ, I think, you know, meeting them where they're at. Like you said, I've never found a better medicine. I've never found a better cure all to whatever is ailing me than, you know, not looking inward, but looking outward at the people around me. And, my mother, every time I say this, my mother, I think, would kill me herself, but I always say I would love to die a martyr. I don't think there's a better way to go, but I would love to die having served all those around me as much as that I possibly could, because I think that's why we're here. I think if we look at the Gospels, and I think if we look at, you know what Jesus did in that surrendering, I think we are called to love God above all else, and we're called to love our neighbor. And
amen. Not that complicated, right?
Yeah,
Drop the mic right there. Period. The end.
Complicated. Yeah.
That was awesome, Molly. This has been awesome. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. You're amazing.
You give me hope and you give me inspiration.
Oh, you too.
Just keep doing what you're doing. And when is your next event? This spring? Is it Boston?
Boston will be next spring, but hopefully our goal, Tommy and I's goal, is to get there together. So we gotta take some time off of our Guinness record to get there together. But we're doing the cherry blossom. This fall, right?
This spring.
So awesome. That'll be fun.
And then one more time, the website for the Father Bill Atkinson Service Corps.
Yes.
What is that again?
Yeah, it's friendsoffatherbill.org.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Folks, feel free to contribute to the amazing, worthwhile cause. Great stuff here. God bless. Go Birds. We'll be planning our Super Bowl trip a week from tonight. All right, people. Love you guys. Take care. Have a great week.